I knew something didn't look quite right. It looked like we're trying to set an emotional stage, right? Turn, dim some lights and hold hands and sing Kumbaya, right? Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Okay. This morning's lesson dealt, of course, with that closeness with God. And tonight, I wanted to follow up with the story of one who was close with God, who sought closeness with God, and he offered a prayer that is what sets him apart from those around him. His name was Jabez. What do we know about him? Not much. He was a descendant of the tribe of Judah. And that's about all we know. He's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. But what he does and what sets him apart is the prayer that he prayed. And tonight I want to talk about the prayer of Jabez. Now, the Bible says Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Now, this whole context of 1 Chronicles chapter 4 is a listing of genealogy. And most people, when we come to a genealogy, we kind of skip over words. We don't try to pronounce them because, let's face it, they don't talk like we do around here. Their pronunciations and their names that they give. We've heard some strange names in this world. I guess the strangest is where they add some sort of a click in their voice when they pronounce a name. There's some strange languages in this world. But they have some names in here, in this book, that really stand out. Very unusual names. So when we come to a genealogy, a lot of times we just kind of breeze over it. And, we practice speed reading, okay? And it'd be very easy to overlook this man and this prayer because it's stuck right in the middle of this long genealogy, this long listing. Now, the genealogies do serve a purpose. One genealogy, one of the Gospels, you have the genealogy found in Matthew and the genealogy found in Luke. And the genealogy in Matthew takes Jesus all the way back to Abraham. And the genealogy in Luke takes Jesus all the way back to Adam. And it's a genealogy that traces the lineage from Adam all the way down to Jesus. And in Matthew's genealogy, traces the lineage from Abraham. Because Matthew's written to the Jews, so they wouldn't have to go back further than Abraham, see. But Luke, written to Gentiles, they're going to go all the way back to the first man, to Adam. And so they take that genealogy from Abraham to Jesus, or from Adam to Jesus. And that's what the genealogy is there for, to show how Jesus came to be, or as far as the order of birth and such. Well, in this genealogy that's obscure in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, you have Jabez mentioned. Let's read the text. Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." We'll come back to that. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." So God granted what he requested. And that's it. That's all that's said about him. You can read it from cover to cover, and that's it. There is a mention of the city of Jabez, which is near Bethlehem, and it may have something to do with him. I don't know. I'm not sure anyone does. But this is it as far as this man's story. Now, Abraham, man, you read him page after page after page. Joseph, the story of Joseph, takes up a good portion of the book of Genesis. We read so much about the life of Paul. We read more about Peter and even more about Andrew, this obscure brother of Peter. We read much more about Andrew than we do about Jabez. And yet this prayer is what sets him apart. There's an intimacy. There's a closeness with God. And God gave him what he asked for. And there's some encouragement in that. Now, first of all, let me talk about his name. His name because I bore him in pain. Now, obviously, from the Garden of Eden, the pain of childbirth was increased. But this must have been something special. Because obviously there's pain in childbirth anytime, but he must have been something special. An excruciating kind of pain, a much more intense pain than what the other brothers gave Mama. And so she called his name Jabez because I bore him in pain. Nobody else was named Jabez. Nobody else was given that name, so there was some pain involved. I think it's significant that in his prayer he prays that he would not cause pain. That there's a story there. We're not told. We'll have to wait till we get to heaven to find out that one. But I found that significant. All right, so Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 20, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. And so we can look at this man. All that we know about him is indeed this prayer that he was a descendant of Judah. But his prayer sets him apart. All right, so he can. And there's four petitions in this prayer. First of all, bless me indeed. He wanted a real blessing. Jesus talked about how that if you want to be my disciples indeed. My disciples indeed. What does that mean? Meaning real disciples, not just in name only. There are a lot of people that are church members. There are a lot of folks that will come to church at Christmas and Easter, and they may consider themselves faithful. Don't think God does. Don't think God does. But Jesus talks about being disciples indeed. Well, this man says, bless me indeed. And it's that same kind of language. I want a real blessing. I want something that's going to last me for my life. You can try to encourage someone to endure what they have to. You can try to endure someone or encourage someone to pay their dues. To endure right now, it'll help. There'll be a payday someday. If you'll hang in there and go through this hardship right now, it's going to bless you in the end. But trying to get that through people's minds, trying to get them past the current pain, the current dilemma that they're facing, that's the challenge. That's the challenge. Think of trying to learn to play a musical instrument. You try to play a musical instrument when you first pick it up, and you try to play it if it's a trumpet. Oh, Christina played the violin in Indiana. Screeching. Oh, my goodness. And then when she got down here, they didn't have violins, so she learned to play the saxophone. Some more screeching. Then Ashley picked up saxophone. Just a deeper kind of screeching. And then Brittany played the trumpet, and that was a high-pitched screeching. My house was noisy. I'd come to the office to have some quiet. But I'll tell you something. After a while, you learn to play. You learn to play. You endure for a while, you endure for a while, and you learn to play. We, to be blessed indeed, there's a price to pay. To get the benefit that we're after, there are times when we're going to have to endure the early period, the struggling period, to get to where we want to be. All right, so he's asking God to bless him indeed, a permanent blessing rather than something for the moment. Something for the moment. If you ask a child, if you want an ice cream cone, okay, you want one right now, or if you'll wait till tomorrow, I'll give you a whole quart of ice cream and a box of cones. Which will a child take? Almost invariably, they will take the ice cream cone right now because they don't understand the idea of bigger blessings if you will be patient. And this is one of those marks of maturity. It's learning to be patient and learning to take or seek the bigger blessing, the more important blessing. And that's what he is asking for. Paul was a great apostle. He was a great preacher. And he was doing a lot of good as he was traveling around on his first missionary journey, planting the seed, planting the gospel, in all these different communities where he went. And the church was established in all these places where he went. And then later, him and Barnabas, they went back. They were going to go back to see the churches that they'd been to. And of course, you know the incident with John Mark. And Barnabas takes John Mark and goes his way. And Paul takes Silas and goes his way. And the scriptures follow Paul. But after a while, Paul gets in trouble with the Jews, and they turn it into a big Roman mess, and now Paul ends up going to prison. And he's hindered. He's not able to go and preach the gospel. He's trapped in jail. He's stuck in one spot. And you know, no cell phone, no internet, no mass communication, no social media that he could make use of. No, he just had to sit down and write old-fashioned letters. And those letters had to be mailed. But because he took the time to write those old-fashioned letters, we have the Gospels, or the epistles of Paul today. Because God sat him down in prison, what turned out, what seemed to be a curse, what seemed to be unfair, turned out to the furtherance of the gospel. Paul even said that himself in Philippians 1 verse 2. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. The things that happened to me have turned out to be good. Even though it was bad to be locked up, it turned out to be good. In Acts chapter 28, verses 28 through 31, therefore let it be known unto you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concerned the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him or interfering with his efforts. In Philippians 4 verse 2, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He received a blessing of contentment, and we received the blessing of the epistles of Paul. And it was because of what happened to him. And we don't understand suffering. We do not understand things going different than what we envision and what we dream. We would like for things to be simple and easy, but they don't always turn out that way. So Jabez is praying for God's blessings indeed, a permanent blessing. And God's blessings take different forms, don't they? His blessings don't always appear as biscuits and gravy when we're hungry, or as money in the bank when we're broke. His blessings don't always appear the way we might think they should. God's blessings sometimes appear differently. I want you to listen to a statement by Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was one of the great preachers of the 19th century. He was in London. And while he was preaching at the New Park Street Church, it was an independent church. It grew from 232 members in 1854 to 5,311 members by 1892. You do the math from 1892 back to 1854. How many years that is? Okay, that is. 38 years, if I do my math right. That's a lot of growth. That's a lot of growth. It became the largest independent church in the world, of any kind. Throughout Spurgeon's life, he experienced a lot of physical ailments, as well as extreme bouts of depression. He would be classified as a clinical as having clinical depression, okay? Perhaps even a manic depressive in modern terminology. But he also endured gout, he endured kidney inflammation and other illnesses that would lay him out in his bed in excruciating pain for weeks and even months at a time. And yet through all this, still he prepared more sermons. It is estimated that his sermons, what he wrote, the sermons that he wrote, would total more than 20 million words that are recorded, that are written down even today. Some of his sermons are still some of the most amazing sermons that have been written in modern times. I give you that background to read this statement that Spurgeon said about his suffering. He said, "I have oftentimes looked gratefully back to my sick chamber." Gratefully? Now, Spurgeon, are you a nut? No, now listen, Robert. "I have oftentimes looked gratefully back to my sick chamber. I am certain that I never did grow in grace one half so much anywhere as I have upon the bed of pain." Where else would he have grown like he did in that bed? Now, those of you who have had debilitating illnesses, those of you who have endured difficult surgeries and had long recovery periods, and there are some in here, several in here, that have endured a lot while you were laying basically flat on your back, and you had a long recovery, I want you to think back to the levels of maturity that helped create in you. I want you to think back to the amount of faith that helped to build in you as you had no choice but to trust in God. You had no choice but to trust. And so that's the essence of this prayer of Jabez. You know, I don't know how God blessed him. I don't know what God did for him. I don't know what kind of suffering that he had to endure. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But what we do know is that when we ask God for his blessings indeed, God will bless us, but they don't always come as ice cream and cake. They don't always come with pretty flowers and a nice card. They don't always come nicely wrapped. Sometimes God's blessings take on a really, really painful form. And it's a hard thing for us to accept sometimes. Anyway, while Paul then was blessed by that learning to be contented, we were blessed by his epistles. And sometimes things in life just don't turn out like we expect. In Romans 8:28, God is in charge. He's got it all covered. "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." He says also, "Please enlarge my border," or increase my territory. Enlarge my ability to serve. Most of the research that I did on this passage is not, he's not asking for more land. He's asking for more opportunities to serve. He's asking for more opportunities to do the will of God, to increase his ability to minister, increase his ability to serve the Lord. That's what he's actually asking for. Increase my talents, increase my usefulness. Obviously we need to be doing what we have. We need to use what we already possess. But he's asking for more opportunities. Romans 15:23, "But now having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you," talking about at Rome, Paul was seeking that opportunity to go to Rome. In Revelation 3 verse 8, "I know thy works," Jesus says. "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." I want that to be said of me. Don't you want that to be said of you? Jesus said this about one of the seven churches of Asia. He prays not only that God would bless him indeed, that God would enlarge his border, but he prays that thy hand might be with me. We know from Isaiah 59 that the hand of the Lord is not shortened, that it cannot save. His ear is neither heavy, that it cannot hear. The problem is that our sins separate us between God. They create a barrier between us and God so that he will not hear, so that he will not save. But if we will open our eyes to him, open our hearts to him, reach out to him, God will save us. He will hear our prayers. He will save us. But we have to come to Him. We have to make that effort. God's hand, Jabez prays that God's hand will be with him, that God will direct him and guide him. Psalm 34, verse 11 through 16, a passage you are well familiar with. You may not realize you're well familiar with it, but when I read this, you'll recognize it from the New Testament. Psalm 34, 11 through 16, come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. That you find that passage in the New Testament. I'll let you look it up. But the thing is, this is a statement about how that it's up to us to reach out to God. And if we will reach out to Him, He will be with us. He will bless us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8, verse 31. And then Jabez's final petition, the final part of this four-part prayer. Not only is he asking that God would bless him indeed and enlarge his territory or increase his borders, and that his hand would be with him, but he says, I pray that you will keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. Keep me from evil. I don't want to have to endure evil. Protect me, but also keep me from doing evil. Keep me from doing evil. I don't want to cause pain. I don't want to hurt anybody. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt anyone else. Man, that is a noble prayer. A prayer that I've been praying the last couple of years is, Lord, thank you for your blessings. Help me to be a blessing to others as you've been a blessing to me. This is part of my daily prayer. Help me to be a blessing to others. Harvey Starling, his famous words as he would end a gospel meeting. Always he did it. He always said these words. Help us to do all the good that we can for as many as we can, as often as we can, and may we do no harm at all. And those of you who've heard his sermons probably remember that little benediction that he would give at the end of every sermon he preached. May we do no harm at all. That's a noble thing. And so that's what Jabez is asking for, that I may not grieve anyone else, that I may not grieve you, Lord, or anyone else. Deliver me from evil. Keep me from evil. The emphasis here is to keep him from doing evil, but I think there's also that realm of protection. Obviously, if I participate in evil, that is to my hurt, but it'll also cause others to hurt. The Bible says very clearly that your sins will find you out. Numbers 32:23. It did with David. You know the story of David and Bathsheba. He tried to hide it as best he could, but his sins found him out. And when Nathan came to him and pointed that gnarled, elderly finger at him, thou art the man, David's heart was crushed because he realized his sins had found him out. There's no hiding what you do. You may hide it from me, but you'll not hide it from God. You may hide it from your mate, but you'll not hide it from God. Your sins will find you out. So our prayer should be that God will keep us from evil, that we do not cause any pain. If you dwell in the presence of evil, if you stay as close to evil as you can, you will come under its power. You will. Just like if you sleep real close to the edge of the bed, sometime or another, you will fall off. You just will. There was a terrible story, terrible incident Elliot was telling me about. I think, Elliot, I believe you told me it was a family member, that young lady that was camping out, and she fell off this cliff, and she was right there at the edge. Now, whether it was an actual crime or whether it was an accident, I don't know if they ever determined that. But I've seen pictures of people that are mountain climbing, and they will camp on the side of a mountain, And they will sleep in their sleeping bag right there against the edge of a mountain, of a fall. And I can't imagine. I cannot imagine doing that. I can't imagine that. One wrong turn. The Bible says that the way to heaven is restricted. It's a straight gate. Restricted gate. A narrow path. It'd be easy to get off that path. You got to maintain, you got to watch your step. You got to be real careful that you don't go to the left or to the right. You got to make sure your path, that's what was in the bulletin article this week, about make sure of where you step, because you don't want to veer off to the left or to the right. The path is narrow. The gate is restricted. Straight, like the Strait of Magellan or the Bering Strait. Think about that. That's what that word is talking about. What we have to remember is we need God's help to stay on that straight and narrow. We need God's help not to fall off. We need God's help to stay on the path. And so his prayer is, Lord, deliver me from evil. Keep me from evil so that I do not cause pain. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. If you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. But if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. So it's imperative that we stay as far from evil as we can. Don't entertain it. Don't toy with it. Don't play with it. Stay as far away from it as you can. So that you, number one, don't lose your own soul. But number two, so you don't cause someone else to lose theirs. So, Lord, deliver me from evil. Keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. The Bible says, so God granted what he requested. God granted what he requested. You know, when you pray to God in faith, according to his will be done. God answers the prayers, the faithful prayers of his faithful children. Every one of them. He answers them. He doesn't always give us what we want, but he always gives us what we need. And in our prayers, and I'm going to say this till God calls me from this place, from this world. But when I pray, I must pray, Lord, here's what I want. But Father, what I want even more than that, I want your will to be done. I want your will to be done. That's the filters we talked about this morning through which our prayers must go. Lord, your will, not my will. Here's what I'm asking. But your will be done. And if you do that, if you pray that way, God will always answer your prayer because his will must be done. And when it happens that God gives you what you've asked for, specifically what you've asked for, man, that's a celebration. That's a time to rejoice. That's a time to glorify God and be thankful. But let me tell you something. When God doesn't give you what you asked for, that's also a time to rejoice and be thankful, because God is doing what's best. He's doing what's best. It's just all about trusting him. Trust him more than you trust yourself. Well, that's the story of Jabez. Jabez did not ask amiss that he might consume it on his own lust, as James 4 talks about. Rather, he prayed. He wanted God's will to be done. But his prayer was, Lord, bless me indeed with real blessings and enlarge my territory. Help me to do what's right in a larger area, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And God gave him what he asked for. Let us pray to God with our open heart. Let us pray to God honest prayers, godly prayers, according to his will. Let us pray to God so that God will answer our prayers and God's will be done and God will be glorified. So my question tonight, is God hearing your prayers? Are you offering faithful prayers by being faithful to God yourself? Because if you can't offer a faithful prayer, if you yourself are not faithful to God. So if there's sin in your life, you need to deal with it. You need to come to him before it's too late and make your life right with him. So how do you stand before God this evening? Are you ready to leave this world? Are you ready to go home? Or are you in need of some change that we can help you with, if there's a way we can be of any service to you, any assistance to you,